Up next, an introduction to home security, surveillance, and home automation.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, where we work together to complete that honey-do list, featuring answers to your questions and head-to-head tool challenges. Let's get started with the show with the Handy Guys, Brian and Paul.
Welcome to podcast number
30.
All right, Brian, number 30. All right, we are back, and we have an interesting show this week, and we want to address, it's sort of a big category, and in fact, we'll probably have some specific shows on each aspect to this, but the whole realm of home automation, home security, home surveillance, what are your basic choices? Because if you go out on the net and start researching it, you will be doing it for hours and hours on end. And we just want to address this matter and sort of a basic outline, and then we will, you know, come back at a future date and address each subject individually.
That's right. So if you've got specific questions about home automation, home surveillance systems, or home security systems, then shoot us an email, contact us, and so why don't we give out our contact information, Paul?
All right, you can always call us, 615-676-0877. You can email us at us@handyguyspodcast.com.
Or use the contact form on our website at handyguyspodcast.com. And give us your thoughts on home security, home surveillance, or home automation, and we can drill into those in a little more detail in an upcoming episode.
All right, Brian, you know, the summer's, you know, approaching the end here. It's getting in the end of the hot summer. I hope everyone's having a great summer, and I hope you're enjoying it. Hopefully you're sitting outside, enjoying, maybe you have some good neighbors, some good company, maybe some good cigars, you know, whatever,
yeah, right,
what have you. And, you know, I don't want to really scare people. I'm not really big into security systems, but, you know, our neighborhood recently just had a break-in. Believe it or not, it was about 2 a.m. Someone scaled a deck that didn't have steps. It was a small deck that was put onto the home, and they hadn't built steps yet, and went into the back door and stole a purse. And it wasn't the first time this has happened. It's probably the same individual that's been doing this. And, you know, so people are thinking about security. And where should we go for security? Should we go out and go to a commercial security vendor and just, you know, buy a package? What should we do? So I started doing some research, and, you know, I'm into the do-it-yourself, obviously. That's what this show's about, right?
That's right.
And, you know, I could go out, sure, and, you know, go to a vendor, but I'd like to do it myself, maybe save a few pennies and, you know, have some fun doing it. So the question is, though, is if you even think about home security, you know, where do you go? There's a ton of kits out there. There's a lot of ways to do it. And the way I looked at it is I broke it down into two major categories. And that's to do home security through a wireless method or the more traditional wired method.
That's right. So we're going to discuss briefly the pros and cons of each of those methods and delve into why you might want one of those versus a, you know, call up your vendor and just have them do everything for you.
Right. So you can go out to a, you know, there's some websites out there. One's Home Security Store, and there's some others that have all kinds of products. But before we get into the specifics of those, I thought we would just address the basics. Okay, wired versus wireless. Brian, obviously, if you put in a traditional wired system, that means you're going to put sensors at
That's
doors,
right.
windows. And when we talk about home security, we're talking about, you know, the ability to send some sort of an alarm if someone tries to break into a window, break open a door, that sort of thing. And, you know, we can talk about what alarm means. It could be an audible alarm, or it could be a call to you, an email, call to the police, call to a monitoring company. There's all sorts of ways you can, you know, alarms. But just the question of getting that data, how do you know if someone's breaking into your door or window? Traditionally, you have to wire it. You run basically a phone cable, essentially, to each
right.
location, right?
Right. And so it's not only your windows and doors, but it's also you'll have motion detectors
right.
and
their main panel.
And they'll
be
have
wired.
A main panel that all these wires come back to. And you'll have probably also your smoke detector, maybe a carbon
yep.
monoxide detector.
Sure.
Or even, you know, leak detectors for water and other things
yeah.
can come all into this panel and then all via wires.
If you can trigger a relay, you can connect it to it. So, you know, you're looking at, you know, a wired situation in a new house, no problem. You run all the wiring, you know, before you put in the drywall.
Right.
But in an older house, it's a little bit more difficult. You got to fish wire. And I think at some future point, I want to do a show on how to fish wire, because I've done a lot of it in my life.
Yeah.
And I have some ideas and tricks and on how to do it and some ideas. But it's almost as much of an art as it is, you know, a skill on how to find ways to get wire to look from point A to point B.
Right. And, you know, the easiest way is just a staple gun and right into the, you know, the baseboard or something
right.
like that. And that's going to look like garbage. So
right.
Fishing the wires is, if you're going to go with a hardwired system, you want to do it nice and neat and fish those wires so you don't see them.
Sure. So if you can get the wires to those locations, no easy task getting it to, you know, around a sliding glass door, over to your front door, whatever. It's going to take a lot of thought, a lot of work. If you hire it out, it could get kind of pricey. Now, I don't know what the commercial vendors are, you know, charging these days. Sometimes they have a reasonable or low price to install these systems because they hope to, you know, that you have to sign a 2-year contract or something like that, or 3-year contract to monitor it, and that's where they're going to make their money. Sort of like
right.
you know, buying a cell phone. You know, you don't pay the full price of the cell phone, but you're stuck with a contract.
Right. So why would you do a wired system then?
Well, wired, the main advantages are your sensors are magnetic, you know, door sensors, those sorts of things. There's no batteries involved, so they're wired, and you're not going to have to worry about, you know, batteries running out. They're reliable. You don't have to worry about interference with other wireless devices, and it seems more and more, you know, people are putting
right.
in wireless routers for networking. They're putting, you know, they have wireless phones. Your microwave ovens can cause interference with those devices, and so there's really not a lot of bandwidth for all these devices, and so sometimes they can cause problems with one another. So the advantage of the wired is it's, you know, it's old fashioned, but you know what, that old fashioned phone that's wired, it still works great, right?
Right.
So that's the obviously main advantage. The cons, the downside is what we already said. It could be a difficult installation. Maybe, you know, you may have to cut some drywall, you know, or run things in ways that may not appear real good. So that's the downside. Wireless. There's more and more wireless systems coming out. There's different wireless technologies becoming available. And so there are systems out there that are, and some of them are foolproof. Anyone can install and they don't take very long, you know. If you can plug something in and stick it to your window or door,
right? They got
you're
like
done.
Self-sticky adhesive
yeah,
kind of
exactly.
Sensors, and you just peel the double stick tape off and stick them on where they need to go. They've got a battery in there; it's going to last a couple years, supposedly, and you should be good to go.
Right. So ostensibly, the wireless systems are going to be really easy to install. So I mean, you don't have any problems with that, you know, wireless communication. You don't have interference. Then you can get those things up and running in no time at all. The downside is, generally speaking, the devices are more expensive.
Sure.
Because each device has, you know, some sort of wireless transmitter
right?
They have batteries. So you're going to pay more, and it could be a proprietary system. So you may have some non-standard wireless transmission, which, you know, if the company goes out of business or something, you know,
right.
Who knows?
Right, you've got to get everything you got to make sure your wireless devices are all going to interoperate properly. You can't go to different companies and necessarily expect them all to play nicely with each other.
Sure. So, and you know, there's, you know, Brian, I didn't even mention, you know, get the real low end stuff. You could just take, you know, some simple alarm systems, which is attached to your door, and you know, you open the door and it triggers an audible alarm.
Right.
You know, there are those as well, but we're really talking about.
You can even get those for your hotel room that, you know,
yeah,
just hangs on the doorknob
right.
and,
yeah.
It sets off an alarm if someone comes in.
If someone comes in the middle of the night, I don't want to know, Brian. You know, hopefully they just leave me alone, take my bag or something.
Right.
My new suit. Okay, so the downside, though, of wireless, we just mentioned, you know, it's proprietary, but also batteries. You got, you know, the transmitter that's sitting on your door, the sensor or the window, you have to, you know, keep putting a battery in that. In some systems, it could drain it, you know, every few months or every year, and you need to remember to do that. So obviously,
right.
If you don't, then that's not doing you very much good.
Absolutely.
So now, as far as products go, there are so many wired products that I'm not ready to recommend one at this point. I hope to possibly review one in the future. Wireless, there's a few out there. One I will say that's interesting, at least, is the InGrid system, because it uses very low power transmitters that will last a long time. If you ever, for those of you, I think in the mainly in the East, they have easy passes on their cars for the when they drive through toll booths that automatically register their with the toll.
Right.
Those transmitters, you put them in your car for years and you don't even think about it. Well, you know, I'm not sure, you know. I don't understand the technology completely, but they have batteries in them, but they last a long time.
Right.
For many years.
So it's a similar concept.
I think the InGrid system has a similar type of concept, and even though it's a wireless system, extremely easy to install, and the devices will last a long time. You're not going to have to worry about it.
Right. And with both of those, wired and wireless, even though we're talking about do-it-yourself kits, you do have the option of having that central monitoring if you want to subscribe to that.
That's right. You can purchase these even if you do it yourself. You have the monitoring capabilities. So I've seen prices as low as $7 or $8 a month to have a company monitor your system for you.
Right. And the advantage there is if you have a system that's hooked up to the phone to call out, you're not going to inconvenience the fire company or the police department by getting nuisance calls, which they may start charging you for someday. So by having a central station monitoring, they're going to verify that indeed you have a positive alarm, and they're going to send the appropriate response.
Well, I suppose you could still get some nuisance calls, because then they call the police, and if they come and find out that, you know, whatever, you left an alarm or malfunction or something,
right,
you could get charged. But you're right. I mean, that's the downside of monitoring. You know, you have false alarms. But the upside, obviously, is that you get a quick response. Usually what happens is the monitoring company will try to call you first. You'll give them a cell number and a home number. If they don't get a response they want, then they will go ahead and refer it to the police.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so that's home security, general traditional systems. But then we're also seeing a whole other market, and that's home surveillance systems, which is a little bit different.
Right. I'm not sure that, you know, if I'm away on a business trip and, you know, I want to go online and look at a screen and see who's walking around my house and say, there's the cat burglar, and am I supposed to call the police then, right?
Well, let's talk about that. Home surveillance systems, what do they do? Obviously, it has to do with cameras,
right,
and around either inside the home, outside the home, and it's a way of capturing people and activities around and or in your home. Now, there's two, you know, aspects to this. You have the covert systems and the overt system. The covert would be when you have a hidden camera. You know, you want to keep an eye on your your nanny or something like that.
Right, the babysitter, and see what they're doing.
When they shake your kid, you can, you know, send it to Fox or something, and you'll be on whatever, Greta Van Susteren or something. So, you know, you could go that route, but you know, there's actually a company that provides a camera that looks just like a digital clock, little desktop clock.
I saw another one when I was preparing for the show. It looks like a teddy bear.
There you go.
You just set that in the crib or something,
cool,
and whatever.
So those are the covert systems.
They call them nanny cams sometimes.
I'm not really interested in that. I'm more interested in the overt systems, where I have cameras to look for bad guys that might want to get in my home, and I don't care if they know about it. In fact, I'd prefer they know that I have them, and maybe they'll move on. And, you know, in fact, some of the companies that sell these systems will, you can put six stickers or signs out front saying this property is monitored or whatever.
Right.
And they're not necessarily going to send off an alarm if someone breaks in your house, but hopefully they'll make the burglar think twice. Or, like what has happened in our area, neighborhood recently, where we've had a couple of these break-ins, they kind of know who the person is. They're pretty certain, but they don't have that proof. You would be able to provide that proof to the authorities.
So are you going to be sitting there like the eye in the sky in Las Vegas in the casino and watching all the time,
all night long? No, I don't want to do that either, Brian, but I'll tell you what, some of these systems are pretty sophisticated. They only trigger on motion. You can, some of them have large ranges. If you get good optics, they have a pretty good range, and you can actually select part of that image. You know, like say you're have one that's stuck onto your front window of your house, and it's covering most of your front lawn and your front porch or something like that. You can actually say, only if I see motion, like right in front of my door, in that part of the screen, do I want it to notify me?
Yeah,
and you can have it actually send you that image when it sees it to your cell phone. If you have a smartphone, you can send an email, a page, or an email that includes the image of what it sees. That's pretty interesting.
Huh.
Yeah, so they're very sophisticated, especially one product that I'll mention here in a moment. But there is a downside to the home surveillance. One is, we already mentioned, it doesn't necessarily stop the criminal. It doesn't send the police necessarily, unless you capture it and suddenly, like you said,
right,
you're traveling. But more than likely, you're not going to be quick enough to do that. But the positive, as we already said, is you can then you can hopefully capture the person that's causing these break-ins. But the downside is that you have these devices can be expensive. There's a lot of cheap video cameras out there. They're not worth much. They're going to be really grainy, low quality video. There's a lot of wireless devices out there. Some use home networking, 802.11b or g, if you know what I'm talking about, and they sometimes can be tricky to configure. Again, interference issues with other devices in the home. You still got to get power to them, so you still have to figure out how you're going to get power to this device that I also want to position in an area, you know, that captures my front and back door.
Right. So if you want to put it up outside your, you know, on your front porch or something like that, you've got to be able to plug it in somewhere.
Right. So in addition, you may have the cost of the system plus ongoing maintenance. If it's a camera that goes outside, you may risk someone damaging it.
Or stealing the camera.
Or stealing it. Exactly. And the other thing is, you know, some people don't want to be watched all the time. You know, if you have one, you don't want your kids, you don't want to be captured on this video that you're pumping out into the internet, right?
Right.
Or whatever, a site where you're monitoring it. So, but I'll tell you what, there is one kit that I thought was interesting. It's not cheap, but it looks to have great optics. I hope, you know, maybe I can try it out sometime. It's, you can find it at wilife.com, wilife.com. And it was reviewed positively by Walt Mossberg in the Wall Street Journal, and is really neat because it doesn't require traditional wireless networking and it doesn't require wired networking. All you have to do is get power to it. You plug it in, and it actually has a little converter. It uses like an Ethernet cable, which is like a phone cable, goes from that power supply to the camera, and then it uses your home electrical system to pass the signal. So what you do is you pass it to, on the other end, you connect it to a home computer, and it sends a signal to that. That home computer is connected to another outlet. So it sends all the signal to your home computer. Then this company, after you buy the product, provides a website for you, not a monthly subscription. If you buy the product, you have it. I don't know if it's indefinite or whenever. You can upload, if you decide, if you want to go this route, upload images at whatever rate I suppose you specify, so that you can then monitor remotely. And this is the company that provides the ability to send emails of screenshots and things like or to your smartphone or to your laptop.
So they make the money off of the hardware, and they're not charging you a monthly fee.
And
that's nice.
And it looks like it is so simple. It is. It's simple to install, to use.
Can I get a teddy bear cam from them?
They sell the clock cam.
Okay.
But they, again, it's pricey. You know, it's about $300 for the basic kit. It includes a camera plus the piece that goes for your PC. And then if you want to get additional cameras, it's like another $240. So they're not cheap. The cool thing is the cameras just stick on to the inside of a window. They have suction cups.
Oh, yeah.
Or they can be mounted, if you want to use them internally, on a wall mount. I can't remember if they can be mounted externally, but it is a really easy kit to use. So there are others out there that are offering wireless and wired options. There's a lot of IP cameras, they're called, that use wired Ethernet. The key with them is you want to think about power over Ethernet. So you need a specialized router or network switch.
Yeah, we're getting pretty techy geek here for power.
We are.
PoE.
But those are other options. But then even with them, a lot of times they have a built-in web server, so you can go and see the images on the camera itself. But if you're traveling or something, you got to figure out how to route that signal or upload the images to your own web server or something. So it's not really a complete setup. You got to be techie to get it going.
Right.
So that's the other route. So that's it for basic security there. Security and automation. Surveillance. Thank you. Up next, we're going to talk about home automation briefly and how that relates to the security aspect.
You're listening to the Handy Guys Podcast.
All right, we're back. And I wanted to talk, Brian, we've talked about home security and home surveillance. What's home automation have to do with this category? Does it even fit, or is it something different? What is home automation?
I don't know. You know, home automation is such a broad category, and there's hundreds of different things you can automate with home automation. And there's multiple technologies involved. You kind of need to pick, you know, your particular flavor of technology. X10 is one that's been around for years, right, and years and years. There's
30 years,
yeah. Is it? And so that's one method of doing home automation. And there's newer ones. Z-Wave, I think, is one.
Yeah, Insteon, and there's some others.
Right.
The home automation is essentially the technique to automating the control of lights, heating controls, appliances, you name it. And the reason I put it in a similar category with home security is, at least for me, when I have a home security system, I know a lot of them offer like a key fob. So if you're approaching your house and you want to disable the security system before you go in,
right, you press the button.
It disables it. But I'd also like it to turn the lights on and do some things like that. I'd like to be able to have a single interface where I can monitor my security system, but I could also monitor the heat, if there's water leaks on the floor, you know, things like that. And I'd love to see these things kind of integrate, so I don't have to put in a home automation system and a security system and a surveillance system.
Right, right. You know, I'd like the ability to say, okay, you know what? We went away for the weekend and we forgot to turn the AC off.
Right.
Or we forgot to turn the heat back. And to be able to just, you know, on my little BlackBerry or on a, you know, on my laptop, be able to pull up a screen and turn the heat down or turn the AC down. That'd be pretty cool.
All right, well, we don't have the answer on how to do all this. There are some kits that are out there that do integrate the security aspect. If you want to put in a traditional security system, they have tie-ins to, like, the Insteon, for instance, home automation system. So you can tie in your security to that. But I'm still kind of looking for that all-in-one simple kit, and I'm not sure it's there yet. The Ingrid system I mentioned in the beginning, I think, has the ability, and they may move in that direction, but I'm not sure it's there yet. So I'm still looking for it, and I hope to do a show, Brian, on home automation, just in general.
Yeah.
And maybe we can answer that question in future months, maybe here this fall, about whether you can actually, you know, tie some of these things in together so you're not installing two or three different kinds of technologies and products.
Right, right. Yeah, it's all got to play nice together.
All right, well, if you have any questions about home automation or suggestions about home automation, security, or surveillance, we'd love to hear from you.
If you've had a good experience with one of these things, let us know.
Yeah, and check out our site. We'll post some of these products that we've already mentioned. And if you've had experience with them, let us know. And if you have any suggestions of different products that we haven't mentioned, we'd love to hear about it, and we'll talk about it in our show.
All right.
That's all we have for this week. Thanks a lot. We're the Handy Guys.
I'm Brian.
I'm Paul. Talk to you next week.
Bye.